At Woodhouse Ford, we're here to help you elevate your summer plans with a vehicle built for every destination. Lease the 2025 Ford Bronco Sport Big Ben for $279 per month for 36 months and 7,500 miles per year from Woodhouse Ford in Omaha. First payment and $299 doc fee due at signing. Shop online or visit us in-store at one of our three convenient locations in Blair, Omaha, and Plattsmouth. With approved credit, tax, title, license, extra, security deposit waived. Must trade a 2018 or newer vehicle to qualify. Stock number FC250323. Vehicle is a courtesy retired loaner. Offer expires 8/4/2025. See dealer for details.
Download Todd and Tyler podcast from the Todd and Tyler app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
At the Orpheum Theater tonight in Omaha. Features Gary Owen tonight. Hi, Gary. Thanks for coming in, brother. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. And, been a lot of years.
Been a while, yeah.
When was the last time I did it? Was it been 10?
It was our old studio, and I'm guessing probably within the past 10 years.
Yeah, and that was
7, 8 years ago. Before COVID, probably about 7 years ago, maybe last time I was in the studio.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Whatever. Yeah.
Been a while.
And Lavelle Crawford, Tony Rock, and Mojo, how you pronounce Mojo's
Brooks.
Last name? Brooks, okay. Now, I got a story about Lavelle. He was supposed to call yesterday, right, Puss?
Yes. Okay. We had him scheduled for a phoner yesterday.
And explain Lavelle's problem with waking up to call people. Listen to this, Gary.
Well, I was I made I
because Lavelle's been on the show with us before. Yeah,
I booked the phoner with the booker who was doing the tour, and he said
now he wasn't calling to promote this show with Gary's show.
No, he got a new special out, right, and obviously he's in Happy Gilmore too. But we were going to, of course, mention the show.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
When I booked it, they said, "Hey, maybe don't promote this because we've had some issues with Lavelle showing up to do the phoners." And then I got an email the night before saying, yeah, it's off. He wanted to do it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or something. No.
So when you see Lavelle tonight, say, you know.
Tell him we missed him.
Tell him we missed him, man.
For sure.
But he shows up for the gigs.
Yeah. He does show up for the gigs. Yeah.
Show the gig, right.
For sure.
Welcome, Gary. I saw your reels come up on my phone a lot. Your bits on stage were... The crowd is, you're just taking questions, basically. You
know? Yeah.
And they're really good at what you do when that happens. But have you ever had anybody say stuff that you think, you're pissing me off?
Yeah, of course it happens.
I know. I've seen a couple of them. You put these things up yourself, but you disarm people pretty quick.
Yeah, I'm not malicious.
No.
Malicious. There's some comics out there that are pretty malicious, and it gets angry quick. My thing is like, let me... See if I can flip this and get you to like me at the end. It's like going after a girl in high school that keeps telling you no, but you keep asking her out.
Yeah.
And then eventually it happens.
Yeah, but why do they
just wear them down?
You wear them down at the locker.
Some of these people have an attitude. I mean, this happens a lot of comics, but people come into a club or a theater and look at you like they don't want to be there. And I've seen you yell at these people. You go, hey, what are you? And they go, and it. They're giving you a crappy looking face, and so you just kind of – you turn them around, though. You always do.
It's a weird dynamic with most comedians. Like, we could have 10,000 people in the audience, and 9,999 is laughing, and one guy is just sitting there, and you're like, what is his problem?
Yeah.
And your whole focus is him.
That guy.
It's not the 9,000 people that are laughing. You're like, why can't I get him?
Yeah.
What is his problem? So I think that's where some of the crowd work moments come in. You're like, it's almost like – Make Me Laugh, that old TV show. Like, you want to break him. Like, I got to get this guy.
Have you ever not gotten the guy? He just stayed, looked at you like, I'm not going to laugh, man.
Nope, I'm 100%, boy.
All right.
Hey, man, when you're the best, you get him. I'm just kidding.
That doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah.
No, a lot of the realists, because he does a lot of crowd work when he just starts talking to people in the crowd, and they actually just yell out questions for you, unprompted questions, too, basically. You know,
well, sometimes I'll close my show.
Okay, what is it? Yeah,
and I'll say, "Do you guys have any questions?"
Okay, that's how it starts.
And then it becomes a free. It's funny because nobody will have a question, and then I'll be like, "You guys sure? Nothing?" And then one person will yell out a question, and then it becomes a free for all, and then everybody starts yelling out, and then you're like, "Hey, one at a time now." You guys didn't have anything, and now everybody's yelling at the same time.
One of my favorites was I saw recently, maybe a couple months ago, before you were coming to the studio with us, was a guy asked you, a black dude in the crowd asked you why you like black chicks. And it's just a great rap. You talk about being in the Navy in San Diego and being at the club. I mean, it's real. I mean, are you, did you have, I've obviously just That's pulled right. off the top of your head, but
you
were
the
so
funniest
good.
Serviceman in America, weren't you?
Yeah.
Funny. Actual wow. title.
Yeah. I don't know if that was a worldwide search. Honestly, they gave the title. I do know it was definitely all the California bases because it was at Camp Pendleton
okay,
in California.
Okay, what was stand-up competition then?
Oh, yeah, it was a legit competition.
Okay.
And then I remember the finals, they had one from every service. There was a Coast Guard. There was a Marine. I was the Navy.
Right.
And there was an Army, and there was an Air Force guy. And then it was funny because I did it 2 years in a row. Uh-huh. And the first year I did it, I got second place, and the crowd started booing. And I was like, oh, the crowd was with me.
Yeah.
And then I entered the next year and I ended up winning it the next year. But
Had you done stand-up before then?
Yeah, when I first got, man, I thought the entire state of California was L.A. Because I grew up in a small town, Ohio, and I'm thinking David Lee Roth, California girls. I didn't know there was a Eureka or a Fresno. Nobody ever sang a song about them. So I thought, I thought you had to start in California, in L.A. I didn't know you could start at local comedy clubs.
Right, okay.
And so my whole thing was, grew up in a small town, Ohio, in a trailer park. Joined the Navy. I was like, how can I get to California? Navy's got the big California bases on the coast. I'm going to get out there. And the day I got out there, I got in the phone book, and I started looking up what I thought was comedy clubs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I looked up this place called the Comic Castle, and I called, hey, you guys got open mic? And the guy goes, let me check. And he comes back on the phone. He goes, I can't find him. I go, can't find him. What are you talking about? I go, open mic. He goes, what are you trying to do? I said, I'm a comedian. I thought I was calling a comedy club. He goes, man, it's a comic book store. So he was looking for a superhero named Open Mike. And then he's the guy. Yeah. I'm on the phone with the dude. He goes, hold on, man. He gave me the phone number to the comedy store in La Jolla. So whoever this random guy working at the Comic Castle in San Diego 30 years ago, he's the one that gave me the number to the comedy store, and that's where I called, and I said, you guys got open mic? And they said, yes, Sundays, and that's what got it kicked off.
Oh, cool.
That's awesome.
So how did you not get in trouble in the Navy? Because most comedians are smart asses. I mean, how'd you not be funny around somebody that was yelling at you? Yeah.
Well, it's very—
Or did you get in trouble?
No, it's similar to how you see me do the crowd work.
Right.
I could disarm my chiefs and my officers. Like they just couldn't stay mad at me. Even my my first 2 years in the Navy, I was in the honor guard in D.C. And, you know, we can't smile. We're on the White House lawn. We're spinning rifles, doing funerals.
You're an honor guard.
Yeah, the Navy. Because when I was in boot camp, they said everyone over 6 foot with a 34-inch waist come down the field house. And I was 6'2", and I was really skinny. I don't think I had a 30-inch waist at that time.
Right.
But came down. I qualified to get in. So that was the first 2 years. So you can't smile at all. So they got this thing when you get to the honor guard, your first 2 months, you're in this thing called trainer platoon, where you're basically drilling all day, every day. You're learning how to spin the rifles, and, you know, all the other stuff. And then they give you a nickname once you cross. My nickname was Smiley, because I'd always be smiling. And my rested face is like a half-cocked smile. It's like, you know, that doesn't bode well at the White House.
How do those guys get? Because I saw the changing of the guard the unknown soldier. The
tomb.
And those guys are crazy good and crazy straight-faced, and they don't move at all. And there was thunder going on when we were watching it, striking thunder, and they didn't even jump. I mean, how do you train yourself not to even jump?
Well, those guys are the top of the top.
I was going to say, how do you get to
those
guys? Yeah.
The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, that's the Navy SEALs of our field.
Oh, it is. Got it. Okay.
It's only Army.
Okay.
They got to go through like months more rigorous training than we do to be ready for that, because it's like 21 steps.
It's crazy.
It's every hour on the hour.
Right.
Like it's rain, sleet.
Yeah, it was raining.
Hurricane.
That day.
Yep. They could care less.
Right.
So yeah, that's top of the top.
Okay.
Right there.
But you don't have people trying to crack you up, like you see those beef eaters in front of Buckingham Palace.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
People are trying to make them smile.
No, not too much. I'll say, it's crazy though, because when you're standing there and like the president walks right by you and you can't look at him, so I could say
so
I saw
30
Bill Clinton,
years ago,
but
so
I never really saw.
Oh, was it Clinton? Yeah. Clinton. Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah, but I will say Dick Cheney.
Yep.
Heavy Old Spice user.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy. Yo, when that dude came by, you knew Dick Cheney was around. I was like, oh, yeah. Dick Cheney.
Did they ever walk up and say hi to you knowing they can't, you can't say anything back, or you just, they just let you do your job?
Not when you're standing there.
Got
like, with the, you know, not when you're standing there at the ceremonies, but right. Sometimes, like, you know, when the ceremony's over. Actually, that's how I brought up Dick Cheney. He wasn't, right. he wasn't very approachable, but he would speak. Like, I remember we were just standing there one time, and whatever we was doing, the ceremony was over. We had, like, some dignitary from France was in town.
Right.
And then he just said, where are you from? I was like, Ohio. Oh, mm-hmm. That was it. That was it. That was the end of the conversation, but he reached out, I guess.
Yeah, he just came off as kind of a gruff guy.
Yeah, he was very rough. But Old Spice, heavy Old Spice user.
Yeah. By the way, somebody in the studio smells really good, and it's not Old Spice.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What are you wearing?
No, it's not me.
She called Chanel.
Yeah.
Chanel.
Okay. It's not us.
Well, yeah, usually the studio reeks like rancid ass.
It didn't smell good until you guys arrived.
Well, they may have showered.
They could have showered, cleaned up, whatever.
They made an attempt.
Right.
Orpheum Theater tonight, Gary Owen in concert along with Lavelle Crawford, Tony Rock. Tony's been on the show with us too before, and Mojo Brooks. Tickets go to GaryOwen.live. There are some tickets left, I'm sure. Is there some tickets left tonight for the Orpheum?
There's some up in the balcony area.
Yeah, it's a great venue. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, and I haven't been in there.
Okay, it's real nice.
Here's what I read on the internet about you, and oftentimes I don't trust the internet, so that you did not set out to be appealing to black crowds. You just wanted to be a comedian, and you went to a club, and the act didn't go so well, and then you were in front of a predominantly black audience, and you killed.
Well, there's some truth to that. Okay. I just wanted to get on stage when I was in San Diego. So when you're dealing with the Comedy Store, open mic was once a week. So I could only get on stage once a week, which is Sunday nights, and sometimes you're not guaranteed to get on. Because what they would do, you'd call in at 3.
Right.
And then you call back at like 6, and they're like, okay, you got on. You're 9th to 10th. 10 people.
Right.
I'm in the Navy, and I'm telling guys, man, I want to be a comedian, but I don't know where to go. I don't know how to do it. I mean, once a week is not doing it for me. So a couple of the black guys I was in the Navy with was like, yo, you can come here. You can come here. It was in the hood.
Okay.
It was black spots, but I could get up 4 or 5 times a week.
So you had more opportunity.
Yeah. So a lot of white comics didn't want to go that route. And then I come to find out, I didn't get in with the white comics initially, so I didn't know there was like other places they were doing hole-in-the-wall bars and stuff like that. So I just didn't know. So my first like 6 months in comedy, I was doing all the black rooms.
Right.
And that's how I won the contest, Funniest Black Comedian in San Diego, and everything kind of took off from there. My first TV show.
San Diego.
It was San Diego, though. It wasn't big competition. It was like Tony Gwynn.
Okay.
You know, a ton of black people back then in San Diego. You know?
you beat Tony Gwynn. I was the funniest guy in San Diego.
Yeah.
Tony Gwynn.
That's about it.
All right.
Black America's favorite white comic.
Yeah, that's what Ebony Magazine.
Ebony Magazine.
Yeah,
right.
They dubbed me that. Yeah.
I think funny for everybody, by the way. I've seen Gary a couple of times at the Funny Bone. It's funny for everybody, no matter who you
are. Will you sometimes walk into a room and say, a lily white community? Spokane, Washington comes to mind.
I love Spokane.
And then you'll say, there's too many white people here?
No.
Okay.
My comedy's universal.
Okay. It is universal.
I think you are universal. Right. Every good comedian's job is to, like, no matter what your audience is to bring them into your world, but make sure they can relate to your world too.
Sure.
So you don't want to alienate anybody. So I think every good comic, like no difference than, you know, Chappelle, Chris Rock, Kevin Hart. Like if you go to a lot of their shows, they're going to have more white people than black people at their show, but their comedy is universal.
Right.
It's the same thing.
Kevin was just in town actually. What do you think your Bengals are going to do this year, man?
Undefeated.
All right. Now, you know, I think I told you before I was a Steeler fan, but we got Nick over here. He's a big Chief fan. He hates the Bengals.
Oh, God.
I know. Don't we hate the Chiefs?
Yeah, he's pretty insufferable the last few years.
We all hate the Chiefs. Even I hate the Chiefs more than I hate the Bengals. I don't hate the Bengals. I do when the Steelers play them, but I don't hate the Bengals on a daily basis like I hate the Ravens, you know.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard to hate Joe Burrow.
I don't hate Burrow.
When he does stuff that's cool, I'm like, damn it.
I know.
And he just does everything right.
Yeah.
You know, here's a crazy stat about Ohio.
You know a lot of these guys, right?
I roasted the Bengals 2 years ago in training camp. I love their coach, Zach Taylor, who used to be the quarterback in Nebraska.
Yeah he was. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great guy. But crazy stat about Joe Burrow. So his senior year of high school, you know, he goes undefeated. His high school was terrible, and they were terrible before him, and they were terrible after he left. But the years he was there, they were good.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Got it. Yeah.
So he was Mr. Football his senior year.
Right. Now, the state of Ohio, right?
In the state of Ohio. Mm-hmm. Now, his junior year, Mr. Football was Luke Kennard, the basketball player from Duke. He's a point guard with Memphis now in the Clippers.
Right, yeah.
He was a left-handed quarterback throwing seeds.
Right.
And Coach K was like, "You're not playing football no more." So literally, Joe Burrow and Luke Kennard are the same age, and you had two Mr. Ohio's, basically football, two quarterbacks. One's in the NBA now. One is with the Bengals, but Luke Kennard couldn't play his senior year because he committed to Duke. Can you imagine being the football coach? And you think you got the best
quarterback?
Coach K
said you're not playing football.
You're not playing football your senior year. You're coming to Duke, and you're playing basketball. You got the Mr. Ohio walking the halls, and he can't play football.
Well, you know what sucks about that?
It's going to be so frustrating.
Because there's a lot of other teams that would have took him besides Duke. I mean, obviously Duke's one of the best, but that would have allowed him to play college football. You know, I wonder why he didn't do that. I'll go to North Carolina then. You know,
yeah, they would not let him play his senior year of high school, and it worked out.
And he was Mr. Football.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
That would suck.
Yeah. That would have been. But the crazy part is if Kennard and Burrow would have played each other that year, that would have been a heck of a game.
Probably a good problem to have, though.
Be that good?
Yeah.
Right.
That you're that good?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but to have that power over a kid like that kind of sucks. You get a chance to play football, you know?
It was like LeBron. LeBron was a tight end.
Yeah.
Couldn't play his junior and senior year.
Well, exactly. The season's kind of overlapped, so you'd have to make a choice eventually, wouldn't you?
I think LeBron, you could do whatever you want.
Yeah. You like that, too.
I think LeBron, we're going to postpone this game until the season's over.
Yeah. Gary Owen with us the rest of the show. He's going to be at the Orpheum tonight in Omaha. Along with LaVell Crawford, Tony Rock, and Mojo Brooks. Come on back. Hang on.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.